Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For the Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM on this glorious Saturday morning. It's a beautiful day out there, and it's going to be warmer than we've had almost, maybe one or two other days. I mean, it's going to feel like summer outside almost today. We have a special guest with us from Cook's World. Chris Wiedemer's with us, who's the owner of Cook's World on Minot Avenue. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I wanted to update you, or get an update from you on what Cook's World is doing right now with the shutdown that's going on, and you're also celebrating your 41st year this year.
Actually, we're a year older now. We're 42.
42. Congratulations, and how can people get the things they need to cook with right now from Cook's World?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for the opportunity to come on the air. We, like a lot of businesses, have been shut down since mid-March for walk-in traffic. However, we immediately went into a curbside pickup service and phone orders, and fortunately we've had a very great spike in our internet orders through our website, so we're feeling very grateful that the local community is still here to support us, because as you know, it's very difficult for small businesses these days.
Yeah, and you've had online ordering and things for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been one of those situations where we had it 10 years ago. We closed it for a while. We kind of got our act together. We reinvented. We found a local firm that we really believed in, who could help us recreate it in a way that was reflective of our brand. And yes, we continue to build on it every day, every week. We're adding product. We're posting video. We're out there in social media to try to connect with people in ways that they want us to.
And people are doing more cooking at home. Are there certain things that are seem more popular right now as people are baking bread and again, just doing more cooking at home?
Yes, so you hit it right on the nail on the head. The first thing that went were my bread machines, and I cannot get any more bread machines through the summer. The vendor is out of stock themselves, and obviously they had a complete run on their machines. We've gone through several orders of a brand that we follow called USA Pan. It's a U.S.-made commercial bakeware line that we really like, and they've been very supportive shipping to small businesses, and that's been, a strong seller. And then, it's interesting. I think as people are going through this, we're seeing replacement of cookware. We're seeing replacement of knives. It's interesting. It's extending beyond bakeware, and now it's getting into more of the fundamental cooking tools.
And hopefully this will last. In 42 years, you've seen trends come and go, right, of different types of cooking, in different generations doing more cooking or less cooking. It's changed a lot in 42 years.
It sure has. And, we follow the trends, whether it's healthy eating or comfort food, like is big right now. But I think we've always stayed true to carrying what we feel is a portfolio of important equipment to have in any kitchen for any passionate cook. And those items, good skillets, good cast iron, a good sharp knife, tools that can do different things, those have never gone out of style, in my opinion, and we continue to see, you know, just good support for those items.
My daughter's made a couple times this, it's a New York Times recipe for cast iron pot pancake, which you use the discard of your sourdough starter and some apples, and you just cook one of them in the bottom of this cast iron pan, and it is truly a phenomenal dish. I haven't seen it at restaurants, but if people are making sourdough, they should look up this recipe and make this. It's just amazing.
It sounds great. I had an apple this morning, but the way you describe it, I'd rather have what your daughter.
Yeah, she found this recipe on the New York Times and has made it a couple of times, and it's something that you start with something you're going to throw out, the discard from the sourdough starter, and turn it into this amazing pancake, fairly large pancake, covers the whole bottom of the pan. So again, that's on the New York Times website.
Yeah, and you know, we carry a large line of King Arthur flour, and of course, that was one of the first things to go as well. All of my specialty flours ran out within a couple of weeks, and you know, unfortunately, King Arthur flour is completely shut down, so they're not handling any orders. But like you said in the beginning, Michael, you know, anything bread and baking related has been one of the comfort foods people have turned to.
And then, yeah, you also sell coffee beans and coffee makers, coffee grinders, bean grinders. Those are still available, I assume?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned coffee because I would say right in line with baking and the bread related sales, my coffee business is just continuing to rise sharply. And fortunately, all three of the suppliers that we buy from, two of them are regional and one is in Long Island, they are continuing to handle all their dealer accounts. And so I'm very grateful for that because you know how people are with coffee. If they're like me, I want my cup of coffee in the morning.
Right. Well, you mentioned knives earlier, and you have probably it's the best selection of knives that I've seen in the entire region available for sale. And people that suddenly start to cook more maybe realize that their knives are old hand-me-downs that you could probably sharpen them, and you have sharpeners available, but it might be time to have a really nice knife to cook with and learn some knife skills.
Yeah, so let's talk about knives, because you're right. We're very proud of the fact that we carry a very large, what I call good, better, best selection of knives. And it's been, for the past 5 years or so, a very strong staple of Cook's World. And our sharpening service has grown considerably and continues to. So, like you said, we sell sharpening tools, steels, stones, manual sharpeners, electric sharpeners, and they certainly have their place for people. But we also have a professional sharpening service that we've been doing for several years. We'll tell people if we can't bring a new edge back to their knife. Most of the times, we can. And if we can't, you know, we're just going to tell them, quite frankly, you know, I can't sharpen it. I'm not going to charge you, but it may be time for you to consider a new knife. And as you know, there's a lot of great value items in knives these days. I'm going to point out one just as an example because it's a strong seller. And folks who might want to be interested in a 6-inch Cook's knife, which is a real all-purpose kind of blade, should ask about the Wusthof Trident 6-inch Cook's knife for $59.99. It's a great, great buy.
The sharpness of these knives, if you're used to kind of dull knives because you don't sharpen your own and haven't got new knives in a while, people need to be careful about how sharp these are.
Yeah, they really are, and that's where our knife skills classes come in. And, you know, obviously we had one sold out. We do two or three a year. Obviously not in the present condition. We're hopeful that, you know, the day will come where we can reconvene together, because it's a very fun educational night. It's really reasonable. You get a free knife with the $40 cost. And the manufacturer comes in, along with myself and Rebecca. We put on a real fun two-hour show. And you're right. There's kind of do's and don'ts to using knives that we cover in the class. And even outside of the class, when we can let people back in, if folks want to just get, a lesson in how to use a steel or how to use a stone, We understand how those tools work.
And, you know, just it's helpful to see that in person. It's something you can use. You know, your grandfather would be proud of you if you can learn to use a steel and sharpen a knife.
I have fond memories of watching my dad pull out his stone, you know, before he would carve a roast or a turkey. And, you know, I didn't understand it at 10 years old, but, you know, I do now, the importance of keeping a blade sharp and why professionals do use a stone or a steel before they're working in the kitchen.
And there's actually maybe several professional knife sharpeners that do them for chefs. They'll go to the restaurant, pick up the knives, and sharpen all of them for the chefs. It's... The chefs know what a sharp knife can do, go ahead, Chris.
If I can make a kind of a future plug for something that I'm embarking on, I have what's called a True Hone commercial machine, and that's what we use currently. But I am in the middle of investing in what I consider to be the Cadillac of sharpening machines. It's called the Perfect Edge. Your listeners could Google it, and they could see the inventor use it. And it is truly a machine for the future when it comes to Cook's World doing services related to knives, scissors, serrations, repair blades. This machine can do everything that people have asked us to do, and we can't always do. As an example, serrated blades, we cannot sharpen a serrated blade on our True Hone. But this machine will allow me, once I'm trained properly, to sharpen the little serrations of a large serrated blade.
Wow. That's. Do you have to do them one at a time, or does it do them all at once?
Yeah, that's the trade-off. The serrations have to be done. This is all by hand, Michael, and it cannot do it. What it can't do, it can't do like a Wusthof double serrated blade, but it can do, I believe it's a quarter inch or more of a serration, one serration at a time.
Wow.
So because it's using a diamond wheel, it's using a diamond disc wheel, and you're doing it all by hand.
Are you going to have to build a new addition to Cook's World for this machine?
No, but I will tell you that I've already got my place picked out in the back. It's going to be away from customers because, one, it's a very loud machine. There are four grinders and wheels rotating at the same time. And we've got a storage area in the back of the store that we've already prepared. Kind of redesigned it and moved shelves and painted. And I have my special employee, Chuck, who's skilled in electrician's work. He's going to run the electricity back, and we're hoping to have it all set up come, I think it's Labor Day.
That'll be fun to see. You'll maybe post a video of you using it at some point once it's in.
Absolutely, and I'll make sure that I let you know so that maybe we can, give your listeners some way of learning about it. And I'd love for you to come in and just give you a a private tour.
Yeah. Again, but you have tons of little paring knives to really large knives and cleavers too. I think really lots of options.
Yeah, there are. It's funny, years and years ago, we would not sell that many cleavers, but cleavers, especially like Chinese cleavers, they've been strong sellers. And I think because either the chefs are using them not only to chop and cut, but then they're kind of gathering the food with the blade on the side of it, and they're moving the product. And so people have realized that sometimes you can use a knife in multi-purpose reasons.
And people see them on the cooking shows too, right? They see the chefs using them and then want to use these kinds of tools?
Yeah, there's a knife that I think, well, one of the more recent ones that was made famous was the Santoku, and that's been always a strong seller for many years. The more recent one is called a Nakiri, N-A-K-I-R-I-I, a Nakiri, and that also is gaining some popularity because it has that wider blade that people can not only cut and chop, but then they can move food with the blade.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, Cook's World is on Monroe Avenue, and you said you're doing curb service. People pre-order, go to cooksworld.com, right?
Yes, and I'm going to give a plug for the Parrington Food Shelf. We have, on our website, been asking customers who have been very generous with donations to the food shelf. They can drop them off at Cook's World, and we take them to the food shelf. And obviously, Parrington is not the only food shelf, but we support the Brighton, the Pittsford. But we're trying to find ways in the community that we can help just, you know, those that are less fortunate.
Yeah. Thank you. It's cooksworld.com, Monroe Avenue. And we've been there for 42 years. Chris, enjoy the sunshine. I heard some birds in the background, so enjoy this nice weather.
Thank you, Michael. Same to you and your family. Be safe. Be well.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
That's Chris Wiedemer, the owner of Cook's World on Monroe Avenue, and one of the kind of iconic stores of Rochester. It's been around for that long. It's really a part of our food culture here in Rochester. We will take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors to talk about East Hill Creamery. Michael Warren Thomas here on WYSL 1040. When I met you, boy. Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here with the sponsors of Ford Love of Food, without which I wouldn't be here on the radio, so let them know that you listen. And Lombardi's Gourmet Foods in Fairport, one of the great smaller markets that is really fully stocked with things. They have about 300 kinds of pasta for you to choose from, and all kinds of cool shapes, colors, types. They have mushroom pasta, porcini pasta, there's beet pasta, there's tons of gluten-free, and then there's wheat pastas. They have pasta made with peas, pasta made with mung beans and edamame and chickpeas. It's really, it's quite extraordinary, all the different pastas that are available. And also Mary Lombardi makes a lot of great sauces and tapenades and things that really make for you can stock up for a whole lot of meals between those things and out of their freezer cases, probably 30 kinds of raviolis. They have frozen meatballs in 5 different sizes and, of course, olive oils and all kinds of things to set the table too. It's LombardisGourmet.com to get more details. Again, in Fairport, Route 250, just north of the railroad tracks, and LombardisGourmet.com. Also brought to you by Max of Eastman Place and Max Chop House, Aunt Rosie's. All three of Tony Galassi's restaurants are doing takeout, and some fabulous food. So consider getting a few dishes, some to put in the freezer. Maybe if it's one that you like in particular, get a couple extra and put it in the freezer so you have some additional meals. Also, you can stretch those meals sometimes. Just some great food. And again, all three, you can link to them online at maxrochesterny.com. And finally, brought to you by Fox Run Vineyards, Anthony Road Wine Company, both on the west side of Seneca Lake, both doing curbside service and shipping wine. You can enjoy some excellent local wines, dry reds, a variety of different whites, some dessert wines from both Anthony Road and Fox Run. It's foxrunvineyards.com, anthonyroadwine.com. They are about an hour from Rochester, just south of Geneva. And some great shipping deals these days, and some great to have those local wines. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food.
Have a banana, Anna. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate, too. Here's Cacciatore, Dory.
Welcome back. Mike Oren Thomas here. It's For Love of Food on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And you may have read a lot about the challenges small businesses in general, but farms and agriculture and dairy. And we have a cheese producer with us. It's Gary and Betty Burley from East Hill Creamery in Perry. And Betty's with us because I think Gary's at the Rochester Public Market, right, Betty?
Yes, he is. He got up bright and early and headed to Rochester this morning.
Well, beautiful day to be there. And again, the Rochester Public Market is open during the shutdown, and the you have cheese available there in Perry from your shop as well right now?
Yes, we do. We're fully stocked with the cheeses that we make here, along with some other pantry items that we carry from local producers around the area. And our store is open from 10 to 4 every day. And if you come an hour when we're not open, we always have our cheese vending machine that's available 24/7.
Is that like the only cheese vending machine in, I don't know, New York State?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen any others that I know of. It's become sort of a novelty to people driving by. We have a sign out by the road that says 24/7 cheese, and it catches people's eye, and they drive in, check us out. We appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'll have to ask around. I think it might be the first cheese vending machine. And as a cheese lover, I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yes, I've only seen them in France and Switzerland.
Ah, okay. So they are around the world, but just now we haven't run into them until you put yours in.
Yep, we thought it would be a novelty.
It is. And a lifesaver for people who love cheese.
So, yes, and during the COVID pandemic, it's been very popular because many people are skittish about coming into the store or encountering other customers at the store, so they just drive up, use the vending machine, and they're on their way.
Yeah. Well, East Hill Creamery makes quite a range of different cheeses. Give us an idea of the scope of cheeses that you offer.
Okay. We make French Alpine-style cheeses, which means the recipes originated in the Alps region of France. They're all made with raw milk from our own grass-fed cows. We have our own dairy farm. We make one that's called Silver Lake. It's similar to a Gruyere. It has a nice buttery, nutty flavor. Been aged over 2 years, so you can taste the little crunchy calcium crystals in there that form during the aging process. It's made in a 60-pound wheel. And the other cheeses we make are raclettes, which means they're great for melting. So we carry Underpass, which is much younger than the Silver Lake. It's smooth, creamy. We like it for grilled cheese sandwiches, melting over potatoes and vegetables. And then we have Happy Accident, which is another one of our raclettes, which also melts very nice. It has kind of a citrusy, tangy finish. And then lastly, we have Underpass Reserve, which is aged close to 3 years right now, has a nice, sharp, robust, salty, earthy flavor. I like it for mac and cheese. In fact, that's what we had for dinner at my house last night. It was excellent.
I used your underpass on a breakfast sandwich I made. We posted this on RochesterFoodNet.com. A bunch of the collaborators at Rochester Food Net made their own breakfast sandwiches at home, and mine had the underpass melted, and I actually melted it in the pan and then put it on the sandwich. And then, but a little bit of what was left in the pan, and it was basically like your cheese crisps that you do with the, how do you describe those?
Well, we just take our cheese and grate it and bake it in the oven, so it comes out crispy and crunchy. They're great for snacking or topping soups and salads.
Yeah.
There's just 100% cheese, so there's no carbs in them. So all the folks that are on the new keto diet are just loving them. They're a nice, healthy snack.
Yeah, well, I kind of made my own version of it and reminded me of yours. They are delicious, and the texture really is delicious. But you mentioned Gary's at the Rochester Public Market on Saturdays, and are you doing other markets right now or coming up?
Well, unfortunately, the COVID crisis has canceled most of the events that we had scheduled for the spring and summer season. We were scheduled to be, of course, at the Rochester Lilac Festival. There were several wine festivals that we missed out on because they got canceled. Many of our summer events have already canceled. So at this point, about the only market to go to is the Rochester Public Market. I understand that the Brighton Farmers Market is going to start at the end of May, so we will probably be at that one also.
Yeah, one of the board members we were interviewing last hour, Todd Lighthouse, said there it's going to be a pre-order type of thing at the Brighton Market.
I think we're going to see many changes in the markets this summer.
Yeah. And East Hill Creamery also sold to restaurants, and those are doing takeout or are shut down right now. So it's got to be very tough for you to get your product out there.
Yes, it is. We work with a couple distributors, and they're doing their best. We've seen an increase in sales at small co-op stores. We have seen an increase in sales on our online ordering since this hit. For people that don't want to come out, they've been ordering online, so that's encouraging.
Yeah, I've been getting your cheese at Abundance and Lori's Natural Foods. So some of these smaller markets, as you said, are a good source of quite a few of your cheeses. Hopefully, as people realize that you can get these local cheeses at these markets, you'll sell even more of them.
That's correct. So we're also at the Pittsburgh Dairy.
Right.
And we are at Ours Market, Abundance Food Co-op, the Redbird Bird Market in Fairport, and at Hagedorn's.
Yeah,
or if you want to take a drive to Perry, we're always here.
These are these small markets generally are not as busy as the big grocery stores, from what I've found, generally have a lot of things on the shelves. It's really it's been a great way to shop. So we've been going mainly to these small markets.
For anyone that's trying to avoid crowds at the larger supermarkets, I think it's a great idea to shop local.
Yeah, places like Redbird have all kinds of other local things, too. Betty Burley's with us from East Hill Creamery. And, Betty, you produce a substantial amount of cheese. But you've been open long enough now that you have more of these reserve-aged ones that you weren't able to do right at the beginning because you were just starting.
Yes.
And do you have other cheeses in the works?
No, I think we're going to just stick to these same four. We're hopefully going to start our 2020 production season here shortly. We're waiting for the grass to get a little bit taller so the cows can go out and graze, and then we'll have some nice fresh grass-fed milk to make our cheese with. We feel it's very important. It affects the flavor tremendously.
And the seasonality of cheese, a lot of people probably don't think about it having seasons.
Yes, we only make cheese when the cows are out on grass, which means we traditionally start in May and end around November or so.
And the what kinds of cows do you have?
Oh, we have all kinds. We started out in 1981 with traditional Holsteins, of course, like the majority of the farmers in Western New York. But through the years, we got interested in grazing our cows more. We did some traveling around to New Zealand and Ireland and realized that there were many other breeds of cows that were more inclined to be better grazers. Our herd is seasonal, which means we only calve in the spring, so fertility was also important to us. So we settled on some genetics that come from New Zealand.
And the how many cows do you have?
We actually have 1,300. We milk in two locations. We have the home dairy farm in Warsaw. We milk around 700 there. And then we have another dairy in Dansville that my children operate, and they milk 600 there. And they are seasonal also.
Wow. And the running of a dairy is for, you know, most, a lot of people work, you know, in an office, maybe 9 to 5, and maybe take a vacation, maybe, you know, sick days, et cetera. But a dairy, you got to milk the cows every day. I mean, it's
that's right. They don't care if it's a holiday or a Sunday or a Monday.
No. Or a hurricane or, you know, an ice storm or whatever.
You've got it. Yes.
Yeah, I read a book a number of years ago that Tom Rivers wrote about. He went to work at farms, one of which was a dairy, and it was really fascinating to read about the, you know, just the lifestyle, the amount of work, the type of work involved in a dairy. It was fascinating, and it's something most people don't get a chance to learn about, really, or appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're very aware of the weather conditions at all the time. As far as cow's health, we're very involved in that. There's a lot of facets involved.
Yeah. Well, East Hill Creamery is in Perry, and in general, with your cheeses, what's the process of making the cheese once you milk the cow and bring, or the hundreds of cows and bring that milk in? How does Underpass, say, come to be?
Well, we have our own milk truck, so the milk truck arrives usually at the creamery around 8 o'clock in the morning. We unload the milk and pump it into the vat. All the milk that comes into our plant has to be tested for antibiotics according to Ag and Markets regulations. So we have our own lab, and we run a little antibiotics test on it, make sure it's free of those. It's pumped into the vat, heated up to a certain temperature. The cultures are added, and the milk is stirred until it gets to be the right temperature. Then we add what we call rennet, which makes the milk coagulate into curds. And again, the mixture is stirred and heated to a certain temperature, depending on which cheese we're making. Then we drain the whey from the vat and pump the curds into the molds. And then it has to be pressed and turned and flipped. Then it sits overnight. And then the next morning it goes into a brine tank. That's the only salt that it gets is in the brine tank. We don't add any salt in the vat. Then it comes out of the brine tank, dries for a few hours, and then we put it into our caves and it ages.
Now that,
while it's in the caves, it has to be washed and flipped 2 or 3 times a week by human hands. So it's very labor intensive.
And these are heavy wheels, right?
Well, the Underpass and the Happy Accidents weigh about 10 or 12 pounds apiece, but the Silver Lakes weigh 60 pounds. So yes, they're quite heavy.
60 pounds?
Yes. That's a traditional size wheel for that type of cheese.
Wow. And then as the cheese ages, does the wheel shrink? It loses some of that moisture and weight?
There's a small percentage that it loses, yes. Not a great deal. While it's aging, we rub it with what we call a morsh, which is a saltwater solution that contains some cultures and some yeast and some bacteria. And then as it's aging in the caves, it forms a natural rind. We don't vacuum seal it in plastic while it's aging.
And so you can consume the rind?
You can on certain cheeses, yes. On the Silver Lake in particular, we like to save the rind and put it in a pot of soup. If you're making some homemade soup, it adds some lovely flavor. Sort of takes the place of a bouillon cube or a bay leaf or something like that. It just adds some extra flavor to it.
Wow. Well, again, for people that haven't been to your shop, in Perry, you're very close to the Hole in the Wall restaurant, sort of just outside of downtown Perry, right?
Yes, we are. We're at 346 South Main Street, which is also Route 39 that runs from Perry to the town of Castile. We're on the south end of town, right about at the village limit, just around the corner from the Hole in the Wall.
Their appetizer that they do with a your raclette-style cheese and some honey. They deep-fried and put honey drizzle on it. It's one of the best appetizers I've had at any restaurant anywhere in years. It's just a fantastic dish. And Perry is a cool place, isn't it? I've really grown to love Perry and all of the interesting people and businesses that are based there.
Yeah, we have some lovely small shops here. And we're very close to Silver Lake, so if you're an outdoorist, there's many things to do at the lake also.
Yeah, and Letchworth State Park, close by.
I'm hoping to have lots of customers on their way to Letchworth Park today because it's such a beautiful day.
Yeah, get some cheese to take for a little picnic.
Or some to take home or enjoy on the way home.
Exactly. And you ship cheese? People can order it online to have it shipped?
Yes, we do. If you go to our website, eastofcreamery.com, we have an online store. We'll be happy to send you some.
Great melting cheeses, these Gruyere and Raclette style cheeses. Well, Betty, thank you for your time this morning. And again, Gary is at the Rochester Public Market with the East Hill Creamery cheese today and on Saturdays. So enjoy this nice weather.
Thank you for the opportunity to visit today.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Betty Burley. She and Gary founded East Hill Creamery in Perry and added a category of cheese that we didn't really have any producers of in the region. And when they started, there's a number of other cheese producers, but all of them doing kind of different things. Finger Lakes Farmstead Cheese was doing Gouda style, and Lively Run was doing goat cheeses, and they really helped fill a category of cheese that I really love that wasn't in the area until they arrived. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after words from our sponsors. Talk about Stewart Spices here in Rochester. Michael Warren Thomas on WYSL 1040.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas with the sponsors of For the Love of Food. Those include Rohrbach Brewing Company, which has two locations. They're both doing takeout and, of course, some great beer to go with that. And you can get extra four packs, if you like, when you pick those up. And you should do as I do, is get a few extra dishes. Again, if you're getting takeout, and put them in the freezer maybe see if some friends or neighbors need some. Make the most of your trip to get the takeout. And both the Beer Hall on Railroad Street by the Public Market and the Brew Pub on Buffalo Road available for takeout. You can go to Rohrbach.com get more details. Get some of their newest, one of their newest beers, their Griddle Cakes. That is in cans now available. And, of course, Red Wings, the Red Wings Ale is out now because spring is here. So do some sampling of some of the, maybe some of the beers you haven't heard of that Rohrbach is producing. You'll find them in grocery stores, widely available, number of restaurants and things also carrying them available for takeout. And get details at rohrbach.com. And since 1991, our sort of our hometown craft brewer. Also brought to you by Captain Jim's Seafood Market and Mayor's Hardware. Captain Jim's has reopened as of this past week. They are going to be open Tuesday through Saturday. They have a pickup table right outside their front door. So you place your order, and then they'll put it out on that table for you. It's delicious seafood. You can get fried fish, and you know, everyone seems to get that on Fridays in Rochester, but Captain Jim's does it Tuesday through Saturday and also has fresh fish. You can get baked salmon, many options. It's Captain Jim's Seafood Market, East Main at Winton. And around the corner is Mayor's Hardware, where you can get everything you need for projects around the home, things you need to fix, etc. Maybe do some painting. It's at mayorhardware.com. They have two entrances, one for pickup, which is kind of the entrance off of Blossom, and then you can also use their parking lot and get in the entrance, which is more off of Winton. It's mayorhardware.com, and great to have an old-time hardware store doing so well. Finally, brought to you by Dr. Constantine Frank Vinifera Wine Cellars. They are down near Hammondsport. Just above Hammondsport in Keuka Lake, offering delicious local wines and some quite old vines. Dr. Frank, he planted some of these back in the, we started back in the 1950s, and so they have some of the oldest vines, vinifera vines in the region, and some of the oldest vines in the East Coast, and some delicious sparkling wine as well as dry reds, beautiful whites. At drfrankwines.com. They'll ship you wine, and you should get a copy of Dr. Frank's biography at the same time. It's a fantastic story of his time in the Ukraine and working in ran an experimental station there for winemaking, grape growing, and it came to the United States in the early 1950s. It's drfrankwines.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is For Love of Food on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And with more people cooking and hopefully staying home as much as possible, you may discover that some of your spices are not as fresh as they could be, or you run out of them. And Stewart Spices is shipping spices, a lot of them around our area and maybe even further afield. We have Vicki Finifrock from Stewart Spices with us now. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Michael.
Great to have a sunny day here, and people may be firing up grills and cooking on grills to get outside. And Stewart Spices, you've been doing a lot of things for grilling over the last few years, seem to be adding more.
Absolutely. I think grilling, smoking, barbecue, they are some of our top-selling spice blends, and it's the type of cooking that people love. Here in Rochester, even in the winter, we'll have some diehard barbecue folks come in and pick up from our line of barbecue rubs.
And right now, well, you're located on South Clinton, and people can do pick up or can order online. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, we're still keeping our showroom closed, for everybody's safety. But you can go ahead and order online, which we've been just overwhelmed with all of our loyal customers and fans who have been doing that. We have lowered our free shipping. We're usually free shipping is $65. We've lowered that to $25. We just don't want anybody not able to get spices, and we know people, many people are having a lot of financial hardships. So free shipping at $25, or if you're just picking up one or two items, there's you just leave us a note that you want to do in-store pickup, and we have it ready for you so that you don't have any shipping charges as well.
All right. And
many people are also calling the shop, so you can call any time and place an order with us right over the phone, and we'll have it ready for you to pick up.
Do you have people who are desperate? They have something they're halfway done cooking, and they call you, and we just got to have this spice?
That happens during regular times, much less so now. I think we're the past 6 weeks we've been living much less in an instantaneous world. But that used to happen. They'd be in the middle of baking and run in for something.
Right. And so you kind of have your finger on the pulse of what people are making or baking or cooking. What are some of the spices that people have been using a lot of?
Well, it's been interesting. One of the things we've noticed is because most of our orders are coming in online, we kind of get to look at them instead of instantaneously just giving them the spices and they walk out the door. And we've noticed a lot of people who are ordering locally from the Rochester area are ordering individual herbs and spices, so basil, thyme, sage, parsley, all of the individual herbs. And then we're noticing that a lot of our out-of-town customers and out-of-state customers are trending much more towards our blends, you know, our Cajuns and curries and barbecue, chilies. But I would say that in terms of seasoning blends, barbecue is one of our hot ones. And also we have some for vegetarians and plant-based people. So they tend towards our curries and our Cajun, some of those, you know, more bright flavors.
And what you mentioned shipping some outside the area. Are these people that have moved from Rochester and they know about you, or they discover you online and they don't have a place like Stewart Spices where they live?
It seems to be both. We often get notes from people who used to live in Rochester, and they will say, I'm now living in Seattle, I'm now living in North Carolina, and so we ship spices to them. And then other people just find us on the internet and order, you know, that way through us. We actually have a restaurant in North Carolina. She's from Rochester, loved garbage plates, opened up a restaurant in North Carolina and uses our Rochester meat sauce, our Rochester plate sauce, as the base of her meat sauce.
So your connections go far from, well beyond Rochester. And
absolutely.
You're kind of unique in places that people can get spices around our area because you grind some of your own, right?
I think that's what sets us apart, actually. We buy high-end premium herbs and spices, and then we grind everything right on site. So whether it's your peppercorns or cinnamon bark that we actually get in and grind down, in addition to all of our, you know, A through Z herbs and spices, so our thyme, our rosemary, fennel, all of those get ground right on site. We put them in a bottle, we sell them to you, and that's just how fresh they are.
It must smell really good when you're grinding cinnamon and some of these other things.
Overwhelming.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, but again, the freshly ground is makes a difference because the volatile oils and things dissipate with time, don't they?
They do. Boy, you've got a great understanding of spices. Yeah, That really is the big piece of it. So it's not just grinding it fresh, but it's also buying a high enough quality of the spice so that there's high oil content to start with. And that's why, you know, you can go into a dollar store type of a place and buy your pepper for a lot less than we sell it. And it may be fresh, you know, it may be a peppercorn that you can grind, but it's because there's lower volatile oil to start with, it's going to dissipate that smell and flavor and taste right away. Whereas ours, you know, I always tell people our pepper samples are opened and closed dozens of times a day, 6 days a week for 6 months, and it still smells as fresh as the day we ground it.
And people tend to, and I, myself included, I have some spices that, you know, you put them in your own jars, and then there's no dating on them, and then, you know, you might have them for ages. And during that's one of the challenges with the shutdown for a store like yours is that people being able to come in and smell those spices, they'll be able to tell how different they are from the ones that they've been on the cabinet maybe for 5 years, for 10 years. I mean, maybe their relative gave them to them. I don't know. Spices look good for a long time, but they don't necessarily retain that smell and flavor.
That's true. Spices, you know, they won't necessarily go bad on you, so it's not like they become outdated, but they do lose their flavor and their smell. So we always tell people if it still smells great, it'll taste great. But when you open up that thyme or sage or cinnamon and there's hardly any smell, then it's not really going to bring any flavor to your food.
Yeah. Well, how many different spices and herbs do you carry?
Oh, goodness. We probably have about 200 different types of herbs and spices. And if you add in all of our blends, or maybe 100 herbs and spices, I would say all totaled with all of our seasoning blends and sausage mixes, seasoned peppers and salts, we probably have 300 to 400 different items you could buy.
It's amazing.
All blended again, right on site.
Yeah, and again, the shipping free for orders of $25 or more, and the people can get them pretty quickly, and maybe take a look through your spice rack, and also with the shutdown, people cooking at home, maybe explore some cuisines from around the world. You have a lot of spices that are specific for certain parts of the world, and people may not realize that you carry them.
That's another great point. We do. And in fact, if you look on our website, we even have an area where you can shop by dish. So one of those choices to look at is international flavors. And we just list some of our favorites. But we have a lot of Mediterranean flavor blends, shawarma, za'atar, baharat. But we also have a few Asian spice blends. We have a new one called Asian Fusion. Northern Africa, we have harissa. We have Berberi. We have French. So we really try to, you know, look at what flavor profiles restaurants are trending and take our cue from them and from the industry.
Yeah, well, had some za'atar recently, and that's an amazing spice. And people might experiment, get a small amount of a spice they don't know anything about, and do some research on it, do some cooking with it, and explore the world through spices. It's an amazing way to do it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I just want to mention, too, that while we are closed, some of our partners are still open. And so you can pick up a few of our spices. Obviously, they won't have the selection we do. But Places like Ours Market, Cook's World, Triano's, Skip's Fairport, Skip's on the Ridge, they all carry a small line of our well, a lot of them are the barbecue or sausage, you know, meat-based.
Sure. And again, stuartspices.com, people can get more details. Vicki, thank you very much for your time this morning and bringing all these great spices to Rochester. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael, very much for having us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Vicki Finnefrock, she and her husband, owners of Stuart Spices here in Rochester, South Clinton, available. You can order online, and they can ship them to you. There's some amazing spices. The black pepper, in particular, we've been, you know, most of the black pepper you have at restaurants or, you know, people's houses, it just doesn't have much flavor and fragrance, but theirs is really spectacular. I mean, that's maybe the one spice that you smell from Stuart's, and then you're going to be thinking, you know, it does make a difference to have really good freshly ground spices, and that black pepper is amazing. So, we will take a quick break. Be back afterwards from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040. Welcome back. Mike Oren Thomas here with the sponsors of For the Love of Food. Those include Herd Orchards, which has some beautiful Mother's Day offerings that you can have shipped or you can pick up. You can also order things like pies, and they have their frozen apple pies are fantastic to bake in your oven and get the smell of the pie baking. So for Mother's Day, check out their website, herdorchards.com, for more details on things that can be shipped or picked up. And they also are doing some deliveries into Rochester, as they've done before Thanksgiving, before Christmas. They're going to be doing that before Mother's Day. Get details at herdorchards.com. Again, Route 104, just west of Brockport. They're doing online shipping and pre-orders are picked up. Also brought to you by Ristorante Lucano, available for takeout, some delicious food, and I'm run out of the vegetarian lasagna I had in my freezer. I'd gotten a bunch of those takeout a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, and I've now used those up, so I got to get another order in to Ristorante Lucano. Fantastic food and fantastic Italian wines. Consider getting a bottle, maybe two, of Italian wines to go with your food. And enjoy, that's one of the best places to find Italian wine. RistoranteLucano.com, they're East Avenue and Winton. Also brought to you by Knapp Winery and Vineyard Restaurant. The restaurant open seasonally anyway, so wouldn't normally be open yet, but the winery is open year-round. They are shipping wine or curbside pickup. It's knappwine.com, and you can get local Limoncello. They have there's fortified wines as well as their red and white table wines. Had a delicious Cabernet Franc from them a few weeks ago. And details online at knappwine.com. And you call and visit our sponsors. Tell them you heard about it here on For Love of Food.
In January, it's so nice while slipping on the sliding ice to sip hot chicken soup with rice. Sipping once, sipping twice, sipping chicken soup with rice. In February it will be.
Michael Ryan Thomas here. It's Fort Love of Food. We'll be back in the next hour with Discover the Finger Lakes and talk with John Adamski, wildlife photographer, and also Stokey Farms, which is going to offer our apple cider donuts Mother's Day weekend, pre-order only, just that one weekend. But they will be open with their pre-orders. You can pick up of apple cider donuts for Mother's Day weekend. Back with Discover the Finger Lakes here on WYSL 1040.